So if we're already saved through Jesus' suffering and righteousness, why then should we have to endure suffering and pursue righteousness ourselves? Tonight we're going to explore why a dying Paul encourages us so strongly to endure, and how as Christians we can endure in a way that glorifies Christ. As we hear from Paul, it's helpful to think back to Adam's talk on Sunday, which outlined why we can trust Paul as a reliable messenger of God and his word. Firstly, he was a trusted apostle of Jesus, which means he's worthy to teach. He's also given authority from Peter, and we learn in Galatians that he's an approved messenger from God. So we can trust what Paul's saying here in 2 Timothy 2. Let's think about the word endurance for just a minute. Bit of a double bang of words. So on one hand, you've got endurance, like as if you endure, how long you can endure pain, so how long you can put up with something for. But on the other hand, you've got endurance, how long you can sort of put in for. So a marathon race, how long you can keep on going for. So sort of like a reactive and a proactive element to the word endurance. The endurance we're going to be talking about tonight incorporates both those in it. So reactive and proactive, both sort of putting up with and also putting in as well. So as we look at this concept of endurance in 2 Timothy 2, there are three main areas that we're going to focus on. Firstly, endurance in spreading the gospel. So that's the first point. Secondly, it's going to be endurance in our suffering. And thirdly, endurance in pursuing righteousness. Let's pray that God opens our ears and our hearts before we get going. Heavenly Father, you're such an awesome God. Thank you for this group of people who have come together to serve you. I pray that you'll help me to speak to them clearly and faithfully. Help us all listen to what you've got to say to us this evening about endurance. Help us to understand endurance as we spread the gospel, endurance as we suffer, and endurance as we pursue righteousness. And help us grow in each of these three areas. In Jesus' name, amen. Endurance in spreading the gospel. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul tells us that as Christians, we are to spread the message to Christ so that others may continue on doing the same. We're to pass on the baton. We're to pass on the baton of the gospel so that we can equip others so they may pass it on to others running the race as well. Check out verses 1 to 4. It says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others." So he's talking to us Christians. Paul wants us to share the good news of Jesus with others. He puts it in a bit of a funny way as he talks about qualified people. And you may be thinking to yourself, well, I'm not qualified. Who can be so qualified to do a massive job of spreading the gospel? But I take it that our qualification, our only qualification, is that we believe and have accepted the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That is, Jesus is our Lord and our authority. We learned from Ads yesterday about the outrageous gift of grace that was revealed at the cross and offered to all of us. We must take hold of this grace and then let it drive us as we endure for the gospel. So through this grace, we are all qualified to spread the gospel. He then talks about reliable people. How can we be reliable messengers of God? The secret lies in verse 2. Paul says, "And the things you have heard me say." So notice here, Paul doesn't say, share your version of events or what you think Jesus wants you to say. The only way we can be reliable is if we stick to what's in the actual Bible. So know your Bible and learn your Bible so that we can be reliable and we can put our qualification to good use. God builds his kingdom through us spreading his word, not us spreading our own word. Our task of spreading the gospel is by no means an easy and pain-free assignment. Paul compares this hardship involved to that of a soldier, then an athlete, and also a farmer. Have a look at verses 3 to 6 with me. "Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops." Spreading the gospel often brings great resistance and great opposition, Let's face it, the gospel is offensive. We are told to stay the course as if we're a soldier on a mission. Stay the course. We don't get involved in affairs that aren't related to the mission. We need to stick to that main goal. We need to stay the course regardless of obstacles, distractions, or criticism. Similarly, with an athlete, in order to reach the final goal, he must compete according to the rules. If our goal is to spread the gospel, let's do it properly. You don't see a 1,500-meter runner finishing after one lap of the track. You don't see a triathlete finishing after he's done the swim leg. Push hard until the end. Persevere and endure. And let's take a look at the farmer. In order to survive as a farmer, you must work hard regardless of external factors or situation or the environment. One year there might be a drought. One year there might be a flood. You only have to look to Queensland now and see the thousands of farms that are underwater through the floods. But for a farmer to receive his crop, he must endure regardless of what's thrown at him. He must be resilient, he must bounce back, and he must endure. We can see these ideas in the movie Saving Private Ryan. A team of soldiers are sent into Nazi Germany to locate and retrieve Private James Ryan. This was their sole mission and task. Their commanding officer, Captain John Miller, was in charge, and he encouraged them to stay the course no matter what. Whilst travelling through a small town, there was a family in distress, and against his captain's orders, a private named Capazzo tended to a civilian affair which was not in line with that main goal. Consequently, he was shot and the overall mission was severely compromised. Capazzo was distracted from the goal and therefore the mission was hindered. But the team could not quit just because of this unexpected setback. They had to push on. They were told to reach the target, so they would not stop until this target was reached. Like a good athlete, they had to finish the race, finish their mission. They had no idea that Capazzo would be killed, or that they would cross paths with a whole Nazi troop with tanks and machine guns later on. But like a good farmer, they had to persevere regardless of what happened. As Christians, our goal is to spread the gospel. We must stay focused on the mission at hand. We must persevere till the end. There will be setbacks. They will make you want to give up, but we must bounce back. There will be resistance, but we must stay that course. So we've discovered as Christians spreading the gospel that there are many obstacles which will get in the way of spreading this gospel. In many places around the world, Christians face heavy persecution and even death sometimes. We can be thankful in Australia that we don't face these types of persecution, but sometimes the resistance we face in our lives can feel just as overwhelming. This week on Good News Week, you might have doors slammed in your face. You may have parents questioning you for sharing Jesus with their kids. You may be ridiculed as you door knock, but I urge you, stay the course. Hold firm to our mission and why we are here. If you get a door slammed in your face, endure, push on to the next. If you have a child that doesn't respond one day, endure, push on and try again the next day. We need to keep spreading the good news of Jesus regardless of the opposition. We need to endure in both putting up with, and putting in. So back to our question from the start. If we're already saved through Jesus' suffering and righteousness, why then should we endure? Well, the answer lies in verse 10. For the sake of the elect, that they may too obtain salvation that is in Christ Jesus. We endure in spreading the gospel so that people might come to know Christ like we do, so that God can work through us so people can know the grace that we know, and so that they too can join the mission. I urge you all, endure in spreading the gospel. You are all qualified through the grace in Christ Jesus. Stick to God's word in the Bible in order to stay reliable, and you will face resistance and opposition. Endure as you spread the gospel. Endure as you spread God's word. Push through and stay the course. Let's move on to point 2. Endurance in our suffering. So we've already touched on the hardship which comes directly from spreading the gospel. And Paul also stresses the importance of enduring our suffering in general. He urges us to endure everything for the sake of our mission. In verses 8 to 12, Paul tells us, "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. but God's word is not changed. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Now, if anyone has the right to talk about suffering, I reckon it's Paul. He has endured immense persecution. He was flogged. He was starved. He was shipwrecked. Even now, writing this letter, he is in jail and probably awaiting execution. He is certainly qualified to talk about suffering. I reckon you'd even understand if Paul would feel sorry for himself or felt he had been dealt a rough hand, but even in chain, he endures for the gospel. He encourages us to endure in our suffering to the point of death. Now, on good news this week, you probably won't die, but you might get sleep deprivation. You may not get your favourite food every meal, and you will have someone snoring in your room. Your personality will clash with someone else's. Your activity might suck, and the kids tell you that. Your craft may not work. People may not laugh at your jokes. You will have to do orderlies when you don't want to, and you will be pushed outside your comfort zone, and you won't like it. You are going to suffer this week. You are going to suffer your whole life as a Christian, but we can take encouragement from Paul. Endure for the sake of those who might come to Christ. This is a worthy cause. So on mission, let's not grumble. Let's not whinge to others. Instead of complaining about the food, say thank you. Offer to help someone who looks stressed. If someone has hurt you, rather than talking or bitching behind their back, take it to them. Encourage those around you because there's a good chance that they're suffering just like you. We are all in this together. As Christians, we make up the body of Christ, and we will do it tough sometimes. We need to stick together. We need to push through. So if anyone can talk about these things, it's Paul. He encourages us from in chains to endure in our suffering. Both Paul and us have the ultimate example in Jesus. He suffered immensely. He was persecuted, tortured, mocked, ridiculed, hated. He was slandered, and ultimately he was crucified. He went to the cross for all of us, even though we didn't deserve it. What is it that Jesus says to us? Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. So, if you're like me, you're in a habit of comparing yourself to others. I think we're missing the point. We're called to carry our cross like Jesus. So, let's not compare ourselves to others as we suffer. Let's use Jesus to set that benchmark. So again, let's head back to that initial question of why should we have to endure the suffering if Jesus already suffered for us? Well, if following a direct command from Jesus isn't enough, we can look at the reason from verse 10. We endure in our suffering so that people might come to know Christ like we do. I urge you all, endure in your suffering for the gospel. We will face hardship throughout Good News Week and all our lives. We endure so that people might come to know Christ like we do. So endure in that suffering. Push through and stay the course. Let's move on to point 3, endurance in pursuing righteousness. Paul urges us to do our best to be blameless and turn away from evil desires. He instructs us to remove the parts of our characters which do not glorify him. Instead, we're to seek godliness in our character. Pick it up halfway through 19. Everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes, and some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Here we have a very strong command, turn away from wickedness. So, sounds simple, just turn from evil and do good. But I think we know how hard it can actually be. Our very nature is sinful, and so often when we do try and do good, evil desires, sinfulness, and selfishness just tend to get in the way. However, through the grace of Christ Jesus, we have a helper in the Holy Spirit, and we can actually try and apply Paul's teaching here. Through this large house metaphor, Paul explains to us that our characters are made up of different sections which can carry out either noble purposes or ignoble purposes. Probably more simply, parts of our character can do honourable things, some do dishonourable things or have dishonourable purposes. If we examine ourselves, we don't have to look far and we'll be able to find characteristics from both. We are told that in order to be prepared for good, honourable work, we must cleanse ourselves of the characteristics which are for dishonourable purposes. He doesn't try and minimise these. He says to cleanse or completely get rid of. So for me, and for many others, pride is a part of me which is never honourable. We shouldn't just try and temper these things, or we shouldn't try and save these things for special occasions. We should completely eliminate them. For you, it might be something different. It might be a struggle with gossip. Maybe it's lustful thoughts. Maybe you have a violent tendency. It's not the case of just minimising these things or lightheartedly saying, yep, I struggle with these, but you know, that's just me. These things are sinning against our Creator. Let's make a stand against these things. God tells us in His Word that the more we can cleanse ourselves of these characteristics, the better vessels of good we will be. The more we can stamp out that wicked, the more Christ-like we will become. Like these ungodly aspects of our characters, Paul gives us equally strong advice regarding evil desires. Check out verse 22. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Notice Paul doesn't say take a wide berth to evil desires. He doesn't say try and resist evil desires. He instructs us to flee, to run in the opposite direction. How often do we think we are stronger than we are? How often do we think we can resist something that we know we struggle with? And Good News Week is not a temptation-free zone. We need to be on our guard against evil desires like a desire to whinge, desire to gossip, judge, or sexual desires. Instead, Paul tells us to pursue the good things, like faith, like love, peace, and kindness. And this pursuit of righteousness is by no means a 100-meter sprint. It's more like a marathon, a never-ending marathon. It requires endurance every step of the way as God cleanses us from the inside out. And what a great place to start pursuing these good things, or at least reignite your desire to do good. This week at Good News Week, make a real stand against the sin, against the unholy things in your life. So we can endure in our pursuit of righteousness through prayer also. Constantly be praying that God would mould us to be more like Jesus. Read your Bible, and we'll find God's own words to us. Remove unhelpful obstacles and stumbling blocks. Speak to wise Christians. Get an accountability partner. Start building helpful and ongoing habits to assist you in this journey. Like Ad said yesterday, outsiders look at our character, so we must try to reflect Christ as much as we can so that we can point them towards Him. With all this in mind, let's head back to that initial question. Why should we endure in pursuing righteousness? Well, we should endure so that people might come to know Christ like we do. So I urge you all, endure in that pursuit of righteousness. We will face temptation, and we will face the desire to do evil. Flee those evil desires. Turn and run away. Pursue good. Endure in this so that people might come to know Christ like we do. Endure in that pursuit of righteousness. Push through and stay the course. So before we sum up, are there any questions that people have from this chunk? No, sweet. The gospel's offensive. Did I say that?
Yes.
Yes, I did. The gospel is offensive to anyone that's not a Christian. So it used to be very offensive to me because the gospel, in essence, told me that I was wrong, I was living wrong, and that at that point I'd be going to hell if I was to die today. The gospel means that... what the gospel says is that we can't be king of our own life anymore, that we must put Jesus as king, and if not, then we're eternally condemned. So for me, that was very offensive, and I think we see the evidence of that just in door knocking and through the lives of non-Christians. Ads? Hmm? Cool. Well, if you've got questions, you can ask me or someone else later. So let's head back to our initial question for the last time. If we're already saved through Jesus' suffering and righteousness, why then should we have to endure suffering and pursue righteousness ourselves? We found in 2 Timothy 2 that we endure so that people might come to know Christ like we do. Firstly, we saw that we need to endure as we spread the gospel. We will face resistance, we will face opposition, but we must push through so that people might come to know Christ like we do. Endure as you spread the gospel. Secondly, we saw that we need to endure in our suffering. We will go through hardship, we will go through suffering on Good News Week and throughout our lives. Suffering and gospel ministry go hand in hand. But we must push through so that people might come to know Christ like we do. Endure in your suffering. And thirdly, we saw that we need to endure as we pursue righteousness. The endless marathon in which we flee evil and pursue good. Endure as you pursue righteousness. Endure, push through, and stay the course. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you're an awesome God. Thank you for the gift of grace you have given us all. Lord, I pray that we'll be able to apply what we've learned in 2 Timothy to our lives. Help us to endure as we spread the gospel. Help us to endure in all our suffering, and help us to endure in our pursuit of righteousness. Lord, use us in this way so that others may come to know Christ like we do. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.